All right, we are back, and as promised, Matt Shook joins us on the program. Working late tonight. The Lions actually practicing?
Yes, I'm like Philly. The Lions are practicing. They have enough healthy bodies to go after. And it's been a long day at Allen Park. I don't know if there's something to do with that.
Nope, you're going in and out, Matt. You there? Why did I? Today feels like a Monday. It really does. You there, Matt?
Can you hear me? Hello.
Yeah,
hello?
You were going in and out there. You disappeared for a second.
Okay, sorry about that.
No problem.
Yeah, it was a long day of practice here for the Lions, and so maybe they're trying to take advantage of the fact that the Eagles weren't doing as much practicing, and that's all. So slowly wrapping up the week.
And so I'm already tired of the Jim Schwartz talk, so why do I find myself asking you, why is everybody giving me Jim Schwartz talk this week? Who cares about a guy that went 29-51 while he was coaching the Lions, taught his team to take dumb penalties, and lost his only playoff game?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's got to be stuff to write about all week, right? I mean, you got to find the storylines to talk about. There's only so much to really say. Well, guys that play well, they get covered on Sunday and Monday, and then you get the media types like myself on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. We got to find some things, so that's what we do. That's the honest answer.
Yeah, that is the honest answer, and I suppose I do the same thing too, and would do the same thing too. But I just, man, let's talk about this football team and how frustrated I am. At 1-0-1, you'd think I'd be happy, right? No, because I keep going, we should be 2-0, and boy, we could be off a great season by going to Philly and knocking them off. But all the time, because of that stupid first game, I'm going to be thinking we're one win behind where we should be.
Yeah, that's completely right and completely fair. Obviously, that's going to be one that's going to be kind of in the back of your mind for probably the whole year, especially because, you know, if it gets down late in the season, you'd say, wow, you got to win this game and then win that game to try to get to the playoffs, and be back in your mind that, man, if they just would have handled business against Arizona in week one, they wouldn't even have to be worrying about that kind of stuff. And as bad as that fourth quarter was and as bad as that overtime session was, that's going to be one that Lions fans might remember all season long.
So what can we expect Sunday in Philly? That's been a tough place historically for the Lions to go and play.
Yeah, they got beat real bad by them. They had a snow game there one year. In 2013, I believe that one was. It's a tough place to play, and it's a really good team. Obviously, they're banged up, but Carson Wentz has turned himself into one of the top quarterbacks, you know, out there. Obviously, Alshon Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson. DeSean Jackson has pretty much been not ruled out, but from what the reports are, sounds like he's not going to be playing on Sunday, and Alshon Jeffrey hasn't been practicing this week either. So, it's going to be tough for Philadelphia to overcome those injuries. The Lions are going to be a little bit closer than you might think of the Lions going on the road to play a very good team because of those injuries. But, we'll see. They got to obviously handle Fletcher Cox in the middle of that really good Philadelphia defensive line that also includes Brandon Graham, the Michigan guy. So there's a tall order for the Lions, but with the injuries, there's an opportunity for the Lions to go get a road win that maybe you possibly thought they wouldn't have had a chance to as recently as a couple weeks ago.
The C.J. Anderson situation, that kind of caught me off guard. I wasn't expecting the Lions to waive him. What's going on there?
Yeah, I mean, well, obviously in the first two games he didn't play well, and there wasn't a lot of indication from the preseason that he was playing well either. You got those bigger guys, and if they lose a certain burst and they're not running guys over like he has throughout his career, that's all he does. You know, when you're a short yardage back and you're not making things happen short yardage, then you don't have a place on a 53-man roster. The rosters are so small that, you know, you've got to be able to find guys that have a variety of skills, and that's what Paul Perkins brings as possibly a guy who can help out with special teams. And not only was C.J. Anderson not getting very good production on the ground, he was having a tough time picking up some blitzes and protection-wise. So those are some recipes for reasons to get cut. And Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn, to their credit, they're quick with the trigger finger so far. You've seen all the transactions. It seems like every day there's a new guy coming in, and a guy they just brought in is shuffled out. So there's lots of moving with the roster. They feel like they're trying to build a team for October, November, and December. And maybe if there's some growing pains and some quick lessons that have to be learned in September, so be it. But they're going to pull the trigger when they have to, and they've shown that they've been doing that.
I know eventually that they'd like to work Perkins in, but that usually takes a little bit of time. A guy comes in midweek, he's not going to be an impact, obviously, this week. Does this mean more touches for Ty Johnson? Because he's a guy that I'm really starting to get behind and really like.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what that means. It's less that Paul Perkins is better than TJ Anderson, but it's more that Ty Johnson, with the versatility of being a guy who can help with the return game, which obviously they've shown with Jamal Agnew's struggles, that they might need. And like you said, Ty Johnson came in the one drive in the second quarter, ran the ball really well, looked good throughout the preseason, looked good throughout training camp. And something he wasn't doing a lot of in Maryland was catching balls. And he caught the touchdown pass in the preseason game. And I think he's a guy that they really like and they've liked for a long time. And maybe they wanted to make sure he could make it happen in regular season NFL games. And that was kind of the writing on the wall for Anderson.
All right, let's switch gears totally here. Joe Johnson, what in the world are the Pistons doing?
Yeah, well, the good news with that move is they got rid of Michael Beasley, so it's not like they're bringing in the whole 2005 McDonald's All-American team or something like that. So, you know, it's a non-roster invite. It's a guy who gets a partial guarantee, just like Christian Wood is. So they play different positions, but they're basically be going for the 15th spot on the roster from the Pistons. So yeah, Christian Wood and Joe Johnson, probably going to, you know, obviously a guy who's 38 years old and a guy who's a young guy trying to figure out his career. So it's silly getting a guy who didn't play in the NBA last year, a guy who played the Big Three this past season, and to expect that he's going to make a big impact on the Pistons this year would be wishful thinking. But it's an end of the bench kind of move, but it's a strange one. I agree with you, Ed. It's not the one that I would certainly be looking for them to be making in the middle of September with training camp just a couple of weeks away.
That completely floored me when I saw that. I hadn't realized that Beasley hadn't actually signed his deal. What was up with that? He just agreed to it and then backed out?
Yeah, I've actually reached out to the agent to figure out exactly that. What happened? Did an agent screw up? Was it something where they came to an agreement that he might come to training camp, or that maybe Michael Beasley decided to try something else, seeing as though maybe the writing was on the wall for him on making the team? He's got a 4-game drug suspension coming into the season anyway, wherever he does end up on an NBA roster. So, everyone kind of figured that was a regular move that had been finalized. But, yeah, had not signed the contract yet, so the Pistons really didn't have to waive him or do anything like that because he wasn't technically on the team yet.
Strange things. But it's coming up fast, right? They start their camp in October?
Yeah, October 1st at Michigan State. And they're going to be playing preseason games, I believe, on October 7th. So it's right around the corner. Football season means basketball season is close. And we know the Red Wings are too deep into the preseason schedule as well. So, it's here before you know it.
Yeah, this is crazy and hectic. I'm already a third of the way through the regular season in high school football.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
That one sneaks up on you, too. Yeah, so I'm thinking about playoff points and after week five or whatever. And, it's crazy. So what's the how's the Blue Water scene looking this year? Is the Braden McGregor show been – I saw a couple highlights of that ferocious tackle he had. How's it going up there so far?
Well, here's the deal, and here's what's starting to become the story to me, Matt, is that my prediction is on October 11th, when the Big Reds and the Huskies meet, both teams will be 5-1. We have never had a season ever where both teams have made the playoffs in the same year. And I was looking at Snooze to You. I know that's a favorite site of yours, too.
Sure.
They had PH number one and Northern number two in the same district after 3 weeks. Now, I know it's a long way to go, but could you imagine this town if they both get in and they're both playing in the same district, and if they win a week one playoff game, they'd play each other for the district title? That would be crazy.
Yeah, district final rematch back at Memorial Stadium. Is that the 11th game? Is that going to be a Friday night or a Saturday afternoon?
That's a Friday night. I believe Northern's the home team this year. Not that it really matters.
Right.
But Northern shouldn't lose any of their next three. Of their next three, the Big Reds have to go to Grosse Pointe South in 2 weeks, but they should win at home against Roseville, and they should smoke Cousineau. So they should be at 5-1, and the Huskies should be at 5-1.
That's unbelievable. Well, you got to keep in mind that those kids probably know that too, and there might be some propensity to look ahead in the schedule a little bit. So the Rollins and all of them got to make sure that they keep focus week to week, because anything can happen in high school, as we know.
Yeah, absolutely. And there have been some crazy games already. Last week there were some crazy scores that I was not expecting. They didn't affect any of the teams that I directly follow, but Tower lost to somebody, and it was ridiculous. They lost 20-19, and it's like, how does that happen?
And sometimes, as we know in high school, those tough out-of-conference games that maybe sneak up on you are things that really can either derail your season at the beginning of the year or kind of refocus your team so you're playing well come middle of the season and late in the season. So don't write off teams that suffer some bad losses early, and unless, you know, you see a little bit of a pattern emerging, because sometimes, like you said, that 9-game schedule, if that goes off the rails in 2-3 weeks in a row, that can really end things for you very quick.
Well, I don't know if Romeo can beat Chippewa Valley, but I've seen Romeo play this year, and they are really fast, and they were really exciting and fun to watch. So maybe somebody can challenge Chippewa Valley, because they look invincible again as well.
Yeah, but I know they lost the quarterback who did so well in one of those games to get the state championship. But I know that's the Big Reds, and that's an unbelievable athletic force. But, yeah, like you said, all those kids at Romeo and the success that they've had, ball program over the plus, some really good teams in Macomb County right now, for sure.
All right, Matt, tell them about the podcast.
Yeah, still doing Locked On Pistons. It's on Apple Podcasts. Wherever you get podcasts, you can find it. Like I said, Locked On Pistons. And 2 weeks away from training camp, 3 weeks away or so from preseason games, it'll be basketball time before you know it.
All right, good stuff. Thanks, as always, for helping us out on the show.
Appreciate you. Talk to you soon.
All right, there's Matt Shook, who joins us pretty much on a weekly basis to talk usually Pistons basketball, but this time of the year we're talking a little bit of football as well. We'll be back.